was telling Mac, it just seems like it's going fast already. And that's normally how gospel meetings go. They just go fast. I appreciate this wonderful opportunity from Mac allowing me to be here. And y'all have to understand something. And playing in the NFL, I remember dreaming about it and hoping one day I would get there. And then finally I got there. I did get there. By the way, when Mac was when he made mention about whether they wanted me or whether I was wanted, I think it was whether they wanted me or whether I was wanted. I said, I think it's the latter. Well, I think it was the former. I said they didn't want me. And so I was trying to make my way through. But it was an incredible experience. But there's nothing like being a Christian. There's nothing like it. What a different culture it is in the NFL. And no peace there at all. But being a Christian is the greatest thing in the world. And I'm so thankful to God I did have that experience. But I'm so thankful that I'm a Christian tonight. And I'm so thankful I'm here with you all tonight. It's just been a tremendous blessing. But what I was about to say was that this is being with Mac in June. I asked him, I say, am I really here? Am I really here? We've talked for years and years, and how I watch him on the debates and watch him in person in the debates, and to finally be here with him. It's incredible. It really is. And because of how I feel about him and what he's meant to me and still does, it's really a blessing for me to be here with him. So I have to pinch myself. I had to wake up in a minute. Am I in Mac Deaver's home? And so I am so thankful. I am just so thankful and just so appreciative of being able to be here. So it is tempting when you can just be around God's people. And we have a great congregation in Colorado Springs. Reminds me of you all. Loving, just down home, just everyday people. And just love the gospel. And that's what it's all about. So to be able to come here and see those of precious life faith has indeed been a blessing and is a blessing to me. And I'm so thankful and so appreciative, again, of this opportunity. Tonight, I hope not to keep you long at all. I know gospel meeting nights, you make great sacrifices to be here, and I really appreciate it. Those who've worked all day and traveled, you do travel here. I noticed that. I'm so thankful for the sacrifice for you to be here tonight, so I won't try to get through this, and hopefully we can all be encouraged tonight with this lesson that I want to bring forth. In Psalms 27 and verse number 14, a psalmist says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." In Psalms 123 and verse 2, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us." In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 22, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil. Wait for Jehovah, and he will save thee. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31, a familiar passage to all of us, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait for Jehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This verse speaks of the great compensations for waiting on the Lord. They include energy, elevation, enthusiasm, and endurance. They shall renew their strength. That's our energy. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's our elevation. They shall run and not be weary. That's our enthusiasm. They shall walk and not faint. And that's our endurance. Tonight, I have learned and am constantly in school of how imperative it is to wait on God's timing. God's timing is always the right time. God's timing is always on time. God's timing is always the best time. And tonight, I want to encourage us all to wait on the Lord, to wait on God's timing, to know that concerning God's timing, it's always the best timing. And so often, as humans, we are in a rush. We live in a world that's in a rush. And God just doesn't operate on our timetable. God does not have a watch, and He doesn't plan on getting one anytime soon. He always works on His time. And so tonight I want to remind you, I want to show you some of the incidents in the lives of the people of God. There was God's timing concerning daily bread. God's timing concerning His direction. God's timing concerning the destruction of the wicked. And God's timing concerning His deliverance. And I want us to be reminded about these things tonight so we can be encouraged that whatever we might be engaged in, that we have a proper mindset of waiting on the Lord. We know when we wait on the Lord that everything is going to be all right. It's going to be done and it's going to happen exactly the way God wants it to happen. And sometimes we think that God needs to hurry up when it might be we need to slow down. And so when we look at this tonight, I want us to reflect on whatever it is that we may be going through or what we might be dealing with. And maybe the message tonight can encourage us all to wait and be more patient with the Lord in the things concerning our lives. When we look at God's timing concerning daily bread, you remember the widow of Zarephath. This woman was scraping the bottom of the barrel of her last meal. She was preparing her final morsel of food when God sent Elijah to her home at her desperate hour to be a blessing to her and to bring about a miraculous provision of her needs. That's found in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 9 through 16. There is the Shunammite woman. She is about to go bankrupt when God sent Elijah, the prophet to her just in time. He was also used of God to bring about the miraculous provision of funds that she needed to live. That's found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And who can ever forget the feeding of the 5,000 plus? It's the end of the day and the followers of Jesus are tired and they're hungry. There are so many people and not enough food to meet all of the needs of the multitude. God uses a little boy's lunch for the hour, who was willing to give his lunch to Jesus, who in turn met the need of the hour. Everyone is miraculously fed, and 12 baskets full are left over. This reminds me and encourages me, with little, if God is in it, it can be much. There's Hagar and Ishmael. Hagar and Ishmael have been dismissed from the camp of Abraham. And as they travel across the desert, their provision of water is depleted. As they lay dying in the desert sand, Hagar cries out to God, and the Lord provides a well of water for her. That's found in Genesis chapter 21, verses 17 through 19. So we see that God's timing provides daily bread. He's always on time. And then when we look at God's timing concerning direction, or how it provides direction, we remember Israel at the Red Sea. And here they are cornered by the Egyptians, Egyptian army, and no place to go. And God opens the Red Sea at Israel's most desperate moment. He gave direction when they needed it the most. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit again. Abraham's servant. This man was looking for a wife for Isaac. He asked God to lead him to the right woman for his master's son. When he comes to a well, lo and behold, Rebekah of Abraham's family just happens to be, but not just happens to be, but is the woman who comes to the well. God had her in the right place at the right time. He directed the servant to the right woman. And then there's Naaman the leper. When Naaman contracted leprosy, God used a captive little maid to give him direction where he could find physical and spiritual healing. That's found in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And Abraham's servant, that's found in Genesis 24, 13 through 26. And so there we see God's timing concerning deliverance. Well, what about God's timing, how it provides destruction to the wicked? Well, King Saul, at the right time and right place, God used a soldier to be the instrument of judgment upon Saul. This soldier fired an arrow that found its mark through the joints of Saul's armor, 2 Chronicles 18, 33 and 34. And who can ever forget Haman? Haman's plot is exposed at the right time to bring hope for the Jews. Haman is punished by being hung on the gallows he built for Mordecai, found in Esther chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. Well, let's look at God's timing concerning deliverance. How God provides his timing concerning deliverance. Elijah was depressed and he was wanting to die. An angel touches him and feeds him, bringing strength which he desperately needs. 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 through 8. It's amazing how God can find someone. He can find a way to give us strength when we need it. And then there was David. David was surrounded by Saul, who was moving in for the kill, when all of a sudden Saul withdraws because of a Philistine attack in another area. God's timing was perfect. 1 Samuel chapter 23, 24 through 28. And then there's Peter on the eve of his execution. Peter is delivered by an angel, Acts chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. In spite of his disobedience concerning Jonah, God had a great fish prepared to deliver Jonah when he was thrown overboard in the sea. Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 17. And then there's the three Hebrew boys. These men would not bow to an idol even though their lives were on the line. When they were thrown into the fiery furnace, the Lord delivered them and miraculously spared their lives. We know the story in Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. And then there's Daniel himself. Daniel continued to pray to the Lord in spite of the law that was passed forbidding it. When he was thrown into the lion's den, God miraculously spared his life by shutting the mouths of the lions. The Lord came through at the right time in the right place. I want to say something about this for a little bit. Because sometimes God might not save us from it, but He might save us in it. Sometimes we need to be willing to go in it and to see great deliverance from it. He may not save us from it because He wants us in it. And once we're in it, He shows His great power to save us from it. I've had to learn that the hard way. Sometimes my prayers are prayers asking God to keep me from things. And I think it's okay to pray that way. But sometimes God's will is that we do get in it. And He can show a greater deliverance once we're in it. And we have to be willing. That's what Daniel did. I'm sure Daniel was praying to God. When the decree was set, I'm sure Daniel was praying to God. And yet Daniel believed God that he was willing to go ahead and go to the lion's den. And it was an even greater deliverance, even glorified God even greater, that Daniel was in the lion's den and God delivered him from that. So let's not get discouraged. Let's never get discouraged. Whatever the situation may find us, maybe God wants us to get in that situation. Maybe He wants to show a greater deliverance once we get in it than to keep us from it. And so may we never get discouraged if perhaps we find ourselves in a situation we prayed not to get in. May we never get discouraged because it just might be that deliverance is coming once we get into that situation. So it was with Daniel. And then there's Joseph. God used the suffering, the slavery, and the imprisonment of Joseph to put him in a position to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker and several years later the dreams of Pharaoh. How did Joseph do it? I don't know. I think Joseph was getting some revelation along the way about some things, but when you look at his life and all that he went through, the sermon tomorrow night, Lord willing, is if it's not one thing, it's another. And I'm sure that Joseph probably at times felt that way. And I'm sure we all feel that way from time to time. But because of his perseverance, because of his faithfulness to God, the timing came. The time came that Joseph was elevated to the second highest official in the Egyptian kingdom. And how does God do it? How does he? It's somehow a difficulty to reconcile the sovereignty of God and free will. Yet God allows us free will, and yet He's in control. He still knows how to make things happen. And It's an amazing feature. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph in this situation. So he's now the second highest official in the Egyptian kingdom. And God did all that. He did all that. He allowed Joseph to go through all that because God had a greater plan. He had a greater plan. And sometimes I have to ask myself, can I be used that way? Can I be a Joseph? Can I be God's trophy like Job was? When I think about what God did with allowed Satan to do to Job, God was saying to the devil that Job is his trophy. He had the confidence in Job. He had the confidence in Joseph that they would persevere and go through it for a greater good. And I wonder, and I'm hoping, and I'm praying that I can be of that kind of spiritual caliber. I want to be able to be used by God in difficulty for a greater good. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, God is always looking at things from an eternal point of view. And sometimes my whining and crying, it doesn't change that. So I have to get where God wants me to be in order to be used that way. Well, that's exactly what Joseph did. Now, Job had a hard time. He was wrestling with some things. But God knew that he was still his man. And so was Joseph. Joseph said he wanted him to remember him when he got out, when he interpreted the dreams. And the Bible says he forgot him. He remained another 2 years. And so I want to wait for God. I want to have a mindset that whatever is happening and whatever is going on with me, that God has a good reason for it. As long as I'm faithful, that's what matters. That's what matters. And maybe in this life he'll allow us to see that greater good. Maybe we won't see it until eternity. But we have to remember that's exactly what it is. It's always a greater good when we're dealing with God's time. And so we should never grow discouraged when things are happening to us and we find ourselves in unwelcoming situations. Well, there's Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham to offer his son as a sacrifice, and the last moment told him to stop. And he was testing Abraham. I just wonder if God sometimes will take us to the limit in testing us. You know, I often illustrate that scene with Abraham and him ready to kill his son. And as I hold my hand up and said Abraham was ready to do it, Hebrews said he did it. And in his mind, it was done. It was done. It was a matter of carrying out the act. And so I said, well, how many of us would have got right here and start looking to God and see if he was going to change his mind? Abraham had no hesitation at all, because he trusted God's timing. And sure enough, God stopped him at the last moment. He stopped him at the last moment. And that's exactly what he intended to do. And God provided a ram in the thicket for a sacrifice. That's found in Genesis chapter 22:10-13. I mentioned Israel at the Red Sea. And I want to bring that up again, because the Egyptian army had the Jews cornered at the Red Sea. And when it looked like they would close in for a massacre, God put on the brakes and protected his people. And yet, when they got through, and here comes the Egyptians trying to go through, it was at the right time when God closed the sea upon the Egyptians. He's just amazing. He's just amazing. Barak and his army, when Barak and Deborah went to fight the Midianites, God disarmed the Midianites' chariot at a crucial moment, by heavy rains and an earthquake. And that led to victory for Israel. Judges chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. One of the most incredible stories I love in the entire Bible is baby Moses. I love that story. And it's incredible because Moses is the parents, they can't, the decree is out, they can't hide him any longer, and they prepare him and send him up the river. And here comes, and Moses' sister is watching. And here comes, out of all people, Pharaoh's daughter. The one who would get baby Moses from the father, the father who's trying to kill him, she gets him, then looks for a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby, and it's Moses' mother. She gets her baby back and gets paid for it. She's paid wages for her own baby because she trusted. She trusted enough. How can God do that? How does He arrange affairs in such of a way where she has to let her baby go? Out of all people, it's Pharaoh's daughter. She finds him. Looks for a nurse to take care of the baby, a Hebrew, and of all people is Moses' mother. She let her baby go, she gets her baby back, and now she's paid for taking care of her own baby. God's timing is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. Maybe there are some things in our lives that we need to have faith to let it go. And trust God, if it's His will, to give it back to us. Maybe there are some things in our lives that we're holding on to that maybe God is saying, you need to let it go. And we're fearful if we let it go, we lose it all. When maybe if we let it go, we'll gain it all. It's a matter of faith and it's a matter of God's timing. So what an incredible story. But here's one that I, and this is the final one that I really chuckle about. It has to do with Mordecai and evil Haman. On the eve of Mordecai's execution by Haman, the king has insomnia and happens to read the exact place where Mordecai saved his life. You remember early in the story, he found out about a plot. Mordecai found out about a plot to kill the king. And he exposed it. And the king wrote it down. And God was working that time. Why wasn't Mordecai rewarded then? Because the timing wasn't right. Because on the eve of his execution, that was going to be the right timing. He has insomnia. You think that happened by chance? And all of a sudden he has to go and look, and now he sees, he remembers of what happened. And he's honored by the king. He has Haman. He's saying to Haman what he wants to do and how he wants to honor the man. And old Haman thinking it's himself. He's thinking it's him. And he's gung-ho with it. And he's all in. And then when he says everything that should be done, and then the king says, just as you say, do it to Mordecai. That's funny. He goes home sulking. Because he can't, but he thought it was him. And yet, God's timing is impeccable. It's absolutely incredible. And so, he ends up honoring Mordecai. And the very man that's honoring Mordecai is the man that was trying to destroy him. God has a great sense of humor. And his timing is perfect. And that's exactly what happened. That gives me encouragement tonight. When I look at these lessons and I look at the timing and I look at how God acts, we should be careful how we react. We should pause. We should pray. We should let God have His way. I could easily have given some examples of those who didn't wait. And some devastating things indeed happened because they became impatient. May we all be patient tonight. May we all be encouraged concerning God's timing. May we never despair. May we never give up. May we never feel or think that all is lost, regardless of the situation, regardless of what's happening, what's before us. I tell the brethren sometimes, I says, you know, sometimes it's not a matter of, it's, you know, this really seems bleak. See, it's not a matter of when it's dealing with God that it seems bleak. It is bleak. It seems sometimes isn't good enough for God. Sometimes we have to go into the fire. Sometimes we have to do like go through what Joseph did, go through what Job did. But may we never grow discouraged. May we trust in God's promises. May we know that He's sovereign, that regardless of what's happening, He's in control. He's in control. You know, I don't think none of us are big enough to somehow shut down the sovereignty of God. Generations have come and generations have gone, and God's still God. He's still running it. He's still ruling. And we should be encouraged by that tonight. That gives me hope. That gives me confidence. Even in a very important year this year, because it's an election year. And we have the God who's in control over it. And He's going to do what's right. And we have to trust Him. We have to pray. We have to pray. But His timing is always right. It's always impeccable. I think this will be our... Will it be our 45th president elected? 44, 45? 45, I think. And we're still here. We survived, didn't we? We survived 44, and we're still here. We did survive. We're still here. Somehow God got us through because His timing is perfect. And He'll get us through until He calls us home. If you're not a Christian tonight, you come by faith, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. If you're a Christian tonight, and you strayed away, you need to come back home, or you stand in need of prayer, this is your opportunity to do so as we stand and sing a song of invitation.